You are listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, March 22nd. In this podcast, Pastor Jonathan Cornell continues the series, Markers. The message focuses on Exodus chapter 16 and is entitled, Bread to Build.
Brooks Hadlin had never known anything except the four limestone walls of the prison in which he had lived. He'd spent his entire life in incarceration, and it was pretty much all that he knew. And so when he received a letter from his parole announcing that he would be released from prison, it comes as no surprise that he was a little disoriented by this new transition. He didn't quite know what to make of what life would look like outside the walls of Shawshank. Now, many of you know that I'm referring, of course, to a beloved movie from the 90s called The Shawshank Redemption. And objectively, Brooks Hadlin was free. He had an apartment. He had a job that he was going into, bagging groceries at a local grocery store. He even had the time, the freedom to go to the park and to feed the birds. Something that he loved to do even while he was within the walls of Shawshank. But on the inside, Brooks was far from free. You see, freedom is not just our present circumstance. It's not just the condition in which we find ourselves. Freedom, true freedom, is the ability to live freely. Sometimes we are, even though we are free, we still are caught in the web of things that the enemy tries to keep us back. And so this morning, we are going to look at a story from the book of Exodus where Israel begins to learn what it means to live freely. The fifth marker in our series this morning is a bread to build. As Israel was in the desert after leaving Egypt, that is where they learned to live freely in their relationship with God and in their trust that He was leading them. And so I want to invite you now to turn with me in your Bibles, either the one that you brought with you or the one in the pew rack in front of you, or if you are so inclined to turn in your tablet or smart device to Exodus chapter 16. We're going to be starting at verse 1, and we're going to read the first five verses, and then we're going to skip forward a little bit. But we also will have it printed on the screen above us. Again, Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, and 9 through 12. And if you're able, let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's hear God's word read to us this morning. When I'm done reading, I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and if you believe that to be true, you can respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." Listen carefully, we're reading God's holy word. They set out from Elim, and the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which was between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger." But then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." And skipping down to verse 9. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writing and the preservation of this word inspire it now in our hearing as well. Amen, and you can be seated. One of the most interesting and unique aspects to Wabash Presbyterian Church's ministry, one that I'm very excited that we have the ability to offer, is what we offer to our young children. Godly Play is a wonderful resource that enables children to enact or interact with the stories of God through toys and imagination. And one of the most beloved stories in Godly Play in our repertoire are the stories of Exodus, because they involve a big rectangle box full of sand. We call that the desert box. They love the desert box. And every lesson that corresponds with the desert box begins the same way. This is the desert. The desert is a dangerous place. You don't go into the desert unless you absolutely have to. You see, there's no water or food in the desert. The desert is a dangerous place. And I was thinking about this, what this means. And I think that there is a really wonderful implication for our lives as well. The desert is a dangerous place, but the desert is also where we learn to live freely in trusting God. How do we make sense of freedom? How do we make sense of this thing that we have? How is it that in the desert God can still bless us? Now, 45 days after the Israelites had left Egypt, they found their way to a place called Elim. Now, in the text, if you read in the verses just prior to chapter 16, Elim is a wonderful place. It says Elim is a place where 12 springs of water exist and 70 palm trees are. And there's even a Starbucks in Elim. Elim is almost like a Palm Springs of that area. It's this wonderful little oasis, and that's where Israel goes first. Right after they're set free, they go to Elim. It seems like this is a great place for them. Wow, what a blessing to come to this place called Elim. But not long after they arrive, 45 days after they arrive, God says to Moses, this is not where you're staying. It's time. And Moses and Aaron tell the Israelites, pull up your tent pegs, pack up the tents, we're heading out into the wilderness of sin. It's not sin the way we understand sin, but it's likely a reference to Sinai, where they are ultimately going. Sinai, this wilderness of sin, is a desolate place. It's rocky and arid, and there is nothing out in the desert of sin. And yet, this is where Moses and Aaron lead the people. And as soon as they're brought out, the people of Israel start to grumble and they start complaining. God, you brought us out into this place, this nothing for us out here. At least when we were back in Egypt, we had bread and we had water and we had meat to eat. The people start grumbling and murmuring against God and they say to one another, why not leave us there? And I think there's a lesson for us here as well, that, you know, oftentimes we expect or we base our trust in God on the next miracle. What's going to be the next miracle? Why not perform another miracle like parting the Red Sea? And this is where we get our first lesson this morning. You see, the wilderness is a place where we see God's provision. We see God's grace in ordinary things. See, the problem of expecting, always basing our faith on expecting the miraculous, is that we begin to fail to see where God is showing up in the ordinary. And we expect that if we don't see a miracle, then somehow God is not present in our situation. But the first lesson in the blessing of the wilderness is we have a chance to see God's grace in ordinary things. I think there was a map. Kyle, if you want to go back to the map, you can kind of see in the red that you see the direction that Israel followed, and about halfway down the Red Sea is a place called Elim that we just talked about. And they're going to follow it all the way down to Sinai, to Mount Horeb, where they would receive the Ten Commandments. And they're taking the long way around. God's deliberately leading them through the wilderness to get to the promised land, because it's in the wilderness where God was teaching them the lessons they needed to learn. The next slide is a quote from my Old Testament professor, Terence Fretheim. He says, if the only place we ever look for God is in the mountaintop experiences or in the deep sea, sea as in water, not that's that was the author's or the writer of that slide's mishap, we will miss God in the ordinary places. We will miss the ordinary blessings that God offers over and over and over again, that grace upon grace upon grace. There's a story I heard recently about an oncologist, by a guy by the name of Brian. And Brian was from Louisiana, and he was treating a young man who was a football player in his early 20s, a college football player. And this guy he was tough. He was a middle linebacker, you know, that sort of mentality. And he was diagnosed with a very rare case of colon cancer. And so this young 20-something finds himself laid up in a hospital bed with really an unanswerable case. They don't know what to do with him. And each night, while Brian was on call, he would get a phone call from this football player, or he'd get a page. And this young man had thought of every possible scenario. Hey, doc, you know, there's this blood test I was reading about. Could you do this blood test to see if that's where it is? Or could you run this exam? Could you examine this part of my body to see if this is where the cancer is coming from? This young man was plagued, even though he was this big, tough football player, he was plagued by anxiety and worry and doubt and fear. And one night, Brian, the oncologist, had an epiphany. And so that night, when he was paged, he went to the football player. And he said, you keep calling me back. You keep asking me to come to your bedside. He said, I think you might be missing the voice that's trying to communicate to you. You see, this young man, he was looking for the Hail Mary cure. He was looking for the one thing that was going to be the answer. And Brian, the oncologist, realized that what this young man really feared was his own death. He feared what was going to come next because it was out of his control. So Brian, the oncologist, says to him, next time you hear that voice, that still small voice speaking to you in that moment, I want you to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. See, the danger of the wilderness, it's not the desolation, it's not the harsh circumstances, it's not the terrible sunburn that you experience in the desert. The real danger of the desert is missing that still small voice of God, failing to recognize that it is God that is leading you through the desert. So the next thing God says is, as the people are grumbling, he says, I will rain down bread from heaven. Gather enough every day. Gather just enough for today, and then on the sixth day, gather twice as much, and you will be fed and you will be nurtured. You see, in the wilderness, it was where God gave this simple, ordinary substance called manna that would be provision for them. And the text even says that the manna had a sweet taste, like honey. In the promised land, God describes the promised land as the land flowing with milk and honey. And so this manna was really a foretaste. It was a promise to keep them moving through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. Text goes on to say as well that the people hoarded. They took more than they could eat. And when they did that, or when they held back manna from that day in order so that they might have it for the next day, they said, the text says that it spoiled. The manna went bad. You see, the people were worried that there wasn't going to be manna for tomorrow, or that it wasn't going to come, and so they hoarded it. And the problem that they faced was that they didn't experience the full grace, the full gift of what God was giving them today. The desert bread that they had, it wasn't meant to be saved. It was meant to be savored, enjoyed. Enjoy today, because God is providing. See, they still had an Egypt mindset. They were still stuck back in their land of captivity. Were they worried that there wasn't going to be enough? Were they worried that there was scarcity? Were they worried that they weren't going to have their freedom the next day? And the problem of an Egypt mindset is that we don't live into the trust that God is providing for us each and every day. That we don't live into our identity as sons and daughters of the living God, who is giving us all that we need. Manna. The text talks about, gives a definition of manna, or gives the Hebrew transliteration. In the original Hebrew, it says, man who. And it literally means, what is it? I think that's often what my family asks when I make dinner at night. Man who, what is it? But what the manna was, it was grace upon grace upon grace. Day after day, God's provision for us. There's a story about a man who was traveling from the north to the south, from New England down to South Carolina, and he had been road weary, pulled into a diner somewhere in South Carolina, and he orders waffles, eggs, bacon. The server comes back, and there's this strange, flaky, white substance on his plate going along with the waffles and the eggs and the bacon. And he looks up to the server, and he says, man who, what is it? And she says, it's grits. And he said, well, what's a grit? And the white waitress says, honey, they don't come by themselves. He said, but I didn't order grits. Said, server looks down at him and says, honey, you don't order grits. They just come. It just comes. In the wilderness, when we're walking with God, in the ordinary things, we see grace upon grace upon grace. Our daily bread given to us. God didn't punish. God didn't withhold manna for those people who had kept some the night before. Did you notice that? It wasn't that they kept it and then there wasn't manna for them the next day to teach them a lesson. No, God gave fresh manna every single day so that they could learn to live not out of a scarcity mentality, but out of an abundance mentality. You see, In the desert is where we learn to live freely. We learn what it means to live in freedom, in trusting God to lead our way in the desert. But it's then in the desert where we realize that God's inviting us to start living like we're free. In Paul's letters in the New Testament, we were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, that in the book of Galatians, Paul spends the first half of the book, and in other letters as well, talking about this grace that the community has received in Jesus Christ and this new identity that they have in the grace that he gives them through the cross and through his forgiveness. And he spends the whole first half of these books telling them about their identity in grace. And then in the second half of the book, in the second half of these letters, he says, now that you've received this grace, go start living like it. Start living into that grace that you've been offered. See, the desert is a dangerous place. You don't go into the desert unless you absolutely have to. But each one of us absolutely has to. Finally, in verse 10, in closing, I just want to point your attention to what they see in verse 10. Aaron, Moses, point the Israelites' attention to the glory of God. And do you know where that glory of God is revealed? Not back in Elam, not back in Egypt. They look to the wilderness, and they see the glory of God revealed. See, the promised land is out in front of us. It's there. We're going there. And we go through the wilderness to get there. Let's pray. Lord, you have invited us to trust and follow you on this journey. And we ask, O God, this morning that as we are led through our wildernesses, as we are led through those difficult times and in those difficult places, that you would reveal in ordinary things, in small ways, in a touch, in a word of hope, in a smile from a friend, that your grace is sufficient for today. Pour out that grace upon us, that we might continue to walk in faith, in hope, and in love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.